CCD Night Talk.
Welcome to Night Talk. What are we doing today, Ryan? What's our episode?
Today we are interviewing two members of the tech committee. So it's one student, Calvin Colby, and we have a teacher, Mr. Roderick, our school therapist as well. This is kind of, we're not sure if we're going to put this at the beginning or the end. But
I don't know if you need, you need to say that.
But listen, the point of this is that these interviews between Josh and I that we're conducting, we're impartial in them. We're not taking a side. We're taking questions from you guys and ourselves, and we're just kind of trying to figure it out, kind of navigate this issue, get a perspective on both sides of an issue. And that we just wanted to say that. I mean,
yeah, we're here to present two opinions, and whatever you end up taking or how you feel about it, it's independent of us. We really try to keep this as unbiased as possible, so our opinions are just irrelevant.
Yeah, we're gonna have a lot of fun interviewing these two. So just wanted to say that before we get going.
Yeah,
so
let's start with Calvin Colby.
Yeah,
special guest.
First special guest on the tech issue. So I just wanted to give you a little background before we hop into some questions. But recently, there's been many discussions at PCD among students, parents, and faculty about the role of smartphones in our school lives. PCD has convened a task force to tackle this issue, and we are expecting policy changes to be decided soon. Today, we will get two different perspectives on this issue and potential solutions. Please join Josh and I in welcoming our two guests. But our first guest, Calvin Colby.
What's up, Calvin? How are you doing?
Doing pretty good, pretty good.
Who are you? What's up with you? How should people know you?
So I'm a senior. Mm-hmm. Recently, I've been involved with the technology task force, which is a couple of meetings organized by Mr. Follin of both our teachers, students, parents, and just talk about possible solutions.
How long have you been at PCD for?
This is my fourth year. Freshman year was my first year.
How would you respond to people saying, like, there's a lot of studies coming out that kind of show links to anxiety, depression, all these different types of mental health issues? And that's really what I feel like the school is trying to target here. Not to, because they care, I feel, is what it is. But how would you respond to somebody who takes that kind of point?
So speaking with Mr. Roderick and Mr. Follin, it seems like the main goals are, like, mental health is one of them, community building is another, and focusedness in class. And the mental health part, I do think that cell phones are probably not great for mental health. But I think that for it to affect the entire school, like, I get it that there are things that the school can do to benefit the well-being of the student body, but where do you draw the line? And I think the phone, like, taking away phones altogether is past that. Mm-hmm. So
you think a certain amount of restrictions or stuff like that could be fine? It just needs to be done, like, in a smaller amount than, like, full absolute.
Yeah, so personally, like, seeing, like, someone on their phone in class while teacher's teaching, that frustrates me because it's disrespectful, and, like, you're going to a private school, you're here to learn, just put the phone down. So I think that, like, having no phones in classroom is a great thing. Like, I think that's a good idea, but I think that during free periods or, you know, community time where you don't have anything going on, or just time where nothing's scheduled, I think it's perfectly fine for people to have their phones. There's no reason why they shouldn't.
Okay, so you're essentially, in terms of, like, it being an academic or a social issue, you see it more as an academic thing. You see that, like, if people are using them in class, it's a problem. But in terms of the social aspects of it, you don't think it's really part of what the school should be doing, and it's not as big of a deal?
Yeah, so, like, we don't see phones turning people into zombies or terminal patients, so, or, like, villains or anything. So I think that, like, as long as people are using them responsibly, it's perfectly fine to have them there and Yeah.
Yeah. So regardless of the effects of phones, do you think that the school has the right to control the use on campus, or is it simply the choice of a student why or why not?
I think that the school does have authority to do that. It's just that how much, like, they should not completely, like, black and white take away the phones, because something that came up a lot in these discussions was that since phone, like, the earlier generations did not grow up with phones in school, so there was no connection from home that will be missed in this generation. You know, people are relying on phones to coordinate, like, pickups. You know, I probably get 2 or 3 texts a week from my mom that are time sensitive, and I need to, like, answer them now. So I just really think that taking away phones would not be an option, and that the school should not do that, because the school is trying to raise a bunch of adults, and if they're taking away this and kind of treating them like they're not adults, then I don't think anything good is going to come out of it.
Okay. So basically, we wanted to ask what sort of action you think should be taken, but you've sort of already gone on that. You've definitely said you are against a full ban,
mm-hmm.
but do you have any sort of, like, alternative ideas that you think the school should be doing instead?
So I think that at a school like PCD, it's a small school on purpose, and one of the things that comes along with that is a sense of individuality and not, like, being a number at a public school. And when something like this is just a blanket, nobody has phones, it is very frustrating for me. And the fact that I would say 80% of the students at school use their phones either productively or neutrally and not disruptive, the fact that that would, like, get everyone just kind of bugs me, so...
Yeah, and I think a lot of students here think that their voices don't really matter in issues like this, and I feel like your example has really proved otherwise, you know, that you can, you know, kind of compromise, and you can, like, I feel like in this school, like, you really can make a difference if you want, like, this podcast, for example. This started because of me and Josh going to Mr. Abel and saying, I think it'd be great if we had a podcast, you know? So... things can happen, but I feel like if more students understood that their voices really do matter, I feel like you would see a lot more of these, like, you know, obviously, you know, the president showing up to more stuff and trying to implement more policy. But, like, I feel like just the school itself, just they think it's all up to Follin, and it really isn't. Mm-hmm. So,
So student council and, you know, that stuff, like, their job is to plan events. Of course, we see, you know, Kat and Atticus as class presidents, like, they help run assemblies and whatever. The main job of student council is to run events, though. It's not to change school policies, so...
Yeah, you think they basically have comparable power to other students, which isn't necessarily a low amount, but it's not more.
I mean, they kind of have, like, the bully pulpit for, like, you know, changing things, just because, like, they have a louder voice than everyone else, but I don't think it's really their responsibility to be there. I mean, it would have been nice for them to say something during an assembly, but I don't have anything against them for that.
Right. Yeah, that's awesome. Let's just switch over to a little more positive note. What's up with the headphones? Like, you wear them everywhere. You wear these headphones, like, everywhere. Dude, and everyone knows you as, like, the headphone.
Listen to music. Kid. AirPods Max. Can I every listen to music? Where you go.
Always. You got them.
Never leave home without them.
That's true.
You didn't even, like, intend to buy these. You got, like...
Dude, I got
swindled.
Coerced by the Apple employee. I was just standing there trying them on. Guy asked if he'd get me a box, and I said, black.
And you wear them to bed, or you just, like...
No, that's when they charge.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's when I put in the AirPod Pros.
How long is the battery life on that thing?
I don't know. I've never let them die.
Hell yeah.
That's awesome. Do you wear them while you're driving?
So I actually found out that that's illegal.
Oh.
You can have, so, I believe you can
oh,
have
but
one.
So you were.
You can have
so you
one
were.
In, but you can't have two. Yeah. But so I've never done it.
Can you
I've
do, ne- like, Can you actually put one ear on? Is that allowed?
Like this? I don't know. I don't know if a sketchy cop would like that, though.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I did my my driving lessons with AirPods in, though.
What, two?
Yeah.
the guy was fine with it. Just like, he's like, yeah, turn ear. Like, you just completely fine with you doing that?
I don't think he noticed.
It's crazy.
Hey, but just thanks for, we just wanted to thank you for having you on.
Yeah, of course.
I think it's a really important issue, and I'm happy that we're getting different voices on this issue.
Yeah, it's good to hear student voices on the whole problem. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so that was Calvin. What did you think about that, Ryan? You like Calvin?
Yeah, I thought that was pretty good. He had a couple points. Let's go to Mr. Roderick now.
Let's hear what he has to say. Who are you, for people who don't know? What are your roles in the school? How long have you been here?
So my name is Jason Roderick. I'm the wellness coordinator at PCD. Which is kind of a fancy word for, like, I'm the school therapist. But I'm also responsible for any SEL stuff that we do, social-emotional learning stuff. That I usually do that work with Mr. Thomas. And so there's more programmatic stuff. That's why they call it the wellness coordinator, because I am doing a lot of programming stuff. I have been at PCD for, this is my 21st year. I came to PCD as a dean of students, and I like to say that I moved away from the dark side and went to the good side. I came down to PCD. I really didn't know the schools down here, and at that time, there was the dean of students at PCD was this woman named Diane, and she had gone to school and taught at the school where I was, which was Vermont Academy. It was a boarding school. So she knew a bunch of people up there. When I sent in a resume, she called them and got feedback from them, and I came down here. So,
awesome. Yeah, it's a great little origin story.
Yeah. And then what are some of your favorite things about PCD, and what sort of things do you do outside of school?
Okay, so I think definitely, you know, like what I said, when I came down here, I didn't know any of the schools. You know, I really wasn't aware of, you know, the different private schools that were down here, because I really hadn't been in Providence much. And I feel like I really made a great choice at PCD. I love the community here. I love the size. I feel like in a lot of ways, and this will get into our talk, I think PCD works like a boarding school. You know, when I first came here, almost every teacher who I worked with coached. So, like, we would, and that's kind of a boarding school thing. We'd call it a triple threat. But almost every teacher coached. So you got to, you know, engage with students in different ways, in different forms. So that was really important. And, you know, and I love my colleagues. I feel like what I tell, you know, people who are interested in working at PCD is, when you come to PCD, there's just this assumption amongst your colleagues that you really are good at what you do. And when I first came here, they were, like, insanely helpful. But I really, you know, I feel like I've, in the 21 years I've been here, I've become really close to a lot of alumni. I've had really good relationships with faculty for a number of years. So I really do love this place. It means a lot to me. Outside of here, I have a private practice on the east side, and I'm there, you know, I see about 35 clients a week in that private practice, and then I work at Brown University as well. And at Brown University, I run a program, facilitated program for students in recovery. So that's what I will be doing today.
Awesome. Yeah, so just sort of closing in on the whole phone question. So in what sort of context is this issue important to you? So, you know, like as a faculty member, as a parent, why does it matter to you?
So I would say my number one concern is as a mental health practitioner, right? So I think we have seen that, you know, we didn't really have a sense of what direction smartphones were going in, social media was going in, things like that. I think more and more studies that we're seeing now, more and more evidence is pointing to how harmful it is. I think to everyone, and you know, I just read a book called Stolen Focus by Johan Hari that really talks about adults too and how it's really, we're losing our ability to focus because of the constant engagement with social media and our phones. But I see it as a mental health piece because we know it's like, if you asked me 20 years ago if I was against smoking, I would say yes, because the evidence is showing that this is really harmful to people. I think the overwhelming evidence we're seeing right now in the psychology community and behavioral science community is that cell phone usage, especially social media usage, is incredibly addicting, and it is really affecting the mental health of adolescents. You know, so I in the presentation I give, I talk about that during COVID, screen time almost doubled, and that makes a lot of sense because we're all kind of confined to Zoom and even like playing video games with our friends so we could have social interaction. But what's crazy is that number has not changed past COVID, and that shows you that with addiction, addiction always progresses in one direction, it never regresses. And I think that's a really good statement to what's happening with social media, with phone use, with screen use. It doubled and it hasn't gone down since then.
Yeah, and this is kind of something brought up in the other podcast, but what would you say to the people who say it's kind of like their escape? So kind of their escape from the real world. I mean, it is a really weird feeling, you know, like you can just get sucked in so quickly.
And I think we all need escapes, right?
Yeah.
So when I work with seniors and talk about the college experience, you know, like a big difference in college is you're going to have work doesn't end. Like, and I could bring in any college kid right now and they would say, yeah, you're never like, it's not like in high school where you're done your assignments at the end of the night. Like, work doesn't end. So you have to create time for yourself to just veg out, to relax. If you want to say to escape, that's it. But if we're escaping for 7.5 hours a day, which is the amount of time that the average adolescent is on their phone, I would say you're just escaping from the world. And I don't think that's healthy. I also think if we're talking about where I see a lot of, you know, phone usage is with people with social anxiety. And, you know, we know as practitioners, the way you address social anxiety is you have to attack it. You have to, you know, go after your social anxiety and really push through it. And if every time I'm in a social situation that I'm uncomfortable with, let's say in the hallways at PCD during classes, if I can just pull out my phone, stand near a bunch of people and look like I'm being social, but I don't have to, I'm never learning those skills to get past my anxiety. Mm-hmm. So I do think escape can be good, but we know, you know, and I think a lot of people will tell you, they'll go on their phone and think, oh, I'm going to go on here for 10 minutes on social media, and then like 2 hours go by. So, and I think that's a product of the way social media has set itself up, the algorithms and such, where they're engaged in this attention economy. They want your attention as long as possible so that they can sell you things, and then they can sell you to advertisers.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of already answered this question, but do you think the phone's a academic or social issue? And then how does it relate to both?
Okay, so I would say it can be both, because I think socially, like I said, what I see, I've been here 21 years. 10 years ago, my office is in Leeds Hallway, right? I would walk down Leeds Hallway in the morning. I would say hello to everyone. People would be saying hello to me. Kids would be hanging out, talking about the game the night before or something else that was going on. If I walk into Leeds Hallway now, first of all, as I start to walk out down, most of the kids in there are sitting there on their phones, and they're not talking. Or if they're talking, they're actually looking at their phones, engaged in something, and then making comments outside of that. Secondly, with the phones come the AirPods, right? And so the problem is with the AirPods, then now when I'm saying hello to people as they're walking down the hall, they're not even acknowledging me because they don't even hear me. So I think it kills community in that sense, right? You know, and I think that's really important. But I also think academically, if you know, Johann Hari gives this example. If I am working on something, so you're doing a math problem, okay. Josh, right? And you're working very hard on this math problem. And then Ryan texts you. And you glance over at your phone and you read that text and maybe you reply to him like 2 seconds, hey, I'm working on math, I'll get back to you. It takes you up to 23 minutes to get back to the kind of focus you had on that math problem before you got that text. So academically, what it is doing is it's kind of limiting and limiting and limiting our focus. You know, and when I would say this, when I do an intake of clients, you know, and when I'm seeing especially like college age students or late high school students, one of the questions I will always ask is, do you read? And almost 100% of the time they will say, I used to.
That's what I'd say too.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
It's so hard. I mean, like just trying to pick one up. I mean, I've been reading probably the same book. It's The Catcher in the Rye. I've been trying to read it before bed every day. And I can read 5 pages and then I go to bed. Like, I've been working on that book for the past probably half a year.
Yeah, and I would ask you, I would say, Ryan, if you didn't have that cell phone, if you didn't have social media, wouldn't it be easier to sit down at night and read that book, right? So I think it really comes down to our ability to focus. But there are all these other harmful social issues that come into play, too. You know, fear of missing out. You know, if I always say this, like when I was in high school, if my friends went out and did something and I wasn't involved for whatever reason, I might learn about it the next day or I might not. These days, like you're sitting at home and you go on social media and there's a picture of all your friends having a great time somewhere and immediately you're like, oh my gosh, why am I not invited to that? Why are these people really my friends? Do they really like me? You know?
Mm-hmm. Just one more sort of random thing. So one thing that Calvin mentioned that he felt like is that he admitted that there was certainly some students where phones could be an issue, but he didn't think it was all of the students, and he didn't think that a blanket policy would therefore be appropriate. Sure. Do you think that it is all of the students? Or?
Yeah, I think it's all of the students. You know, one of the things Tristan Harris was, you know, one of the early progenitors of like Google and Facebook and things like that.
So he's a social media.
He was a technology guy, okay. Right? He was part of the technology lab at Stanford when it started out. And one of the things he really stresses is like we have Paleolithic brains. Our brains haven't developed in that sense, right? And there are certain things in us that respond no matter if I am incredibly intelligent, if I'm incredibly learned, I'm still going to respond. The example he uses is a magic trick, right? I'm not going to do a magic trick to you and say, wait, you have 5 PhDs. This won't work for you, right? So I think we all want to think like, oh, I'm better than that. You know, those people are the ones being fooled, but I'm not being fooled. Those are the people who are being addicted. I'm not being addicted, right? But if I'm on my phone 7 hours a day, maybe that's not true, right? So I think it's, you know, we make blanket rules that cover everyone. But I really do think, you know, what Tristan Harris says is you can beam all of enlightenment into an ant, right? And full consciousness of the world into that ant. But when that ant senses pheromones, that ant's feet are going to start moving, right? And I think that's, you know, the way the technology is working, especially the algorithms, it feeds into our ability to be persuaded. And that doesn't change with education, with discipline, anything like that, you know? So I kind of agree with Calvin, like I bet it's a much bigger problem for some students. When I talk to some students, I talked to a student recently, she said, look at my phone, I've used it for an hour and a half yesterday, right? So I think some students are better at it, but I don't think it would punish a student if they say, well, I'm not like that. And so what you're saying is, okay, well then we're gonna enforce, we're going to help support your idea that you shouldn't be like that, right?
Yeah.
All right.
I think we have one last question for you. Sure. What action do you believe should be taken? I know the recommendations already been made, but what do you think what action should be taken.
Taking everything into account. So
yeah, how kids so feel. I think I would have preferred a ban. And I think, again, let me refer to a couple of things. In my job as a therapist, my job outside of PCD in my private practice, what do you think it would be like if you were sitting in front of your therapist and they picked up their phone and started scrolling through social media? Right? What would it be like if you're sitting at a desk job and your boss is there and you pick up your phone and start scrolling through social media? We're not teaching people how to manage that part. And I think having a ban would have been really helpful. I want people to do whatever they feel most comfortable with. So whatever the recommendations are, I'm good with. You know, but I think, let me refer back to the Costa Rica trip, because Ryan, you went on that trip. You know, I don't say you can't use your phone. I just say, here's the 75-80% of the time that you won't be able to use your phone, right? And I always, on that trip, have a student come to me and say, it's so nice not to be on our phones all the time, right? And one rule I changed about 5 years ago is I said, we're not having cell phones at meals. And to me, it's amazing to sit there at a long table with a bunch of students and everyone is engaged in conversation. And I don't think that happens when cell phones are in use, right? So, you know, I think it's part of it is training for the outside world. Like when I'm a working person, I'm not going to be able to engage in this kind of behavior. And also, I think if we just said, you know, for these many hours a day, you're just not going to be doing that, then I think it would really help people to learn, like, I actually feel better when I'm not on that, and I could continue to do that outside of here.
All right. Hey, anything else, sir?
I think we're good.
And I should just say what you guys are doing is awesome. So nice job.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much. Yeah. I think we got that right. It was recording, right?
Yeah. I checked it.
Sorry about the tapping.
It's all right. Thank you so much.
So we're good?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
All right. And that was Mr. Roderick. Now we've heard from both Calvin and Mr. Roderick. This was a pretty good discussion, Ryan. You had some fun?
Yeah. It was interesting kind of interviewing two different people.
Two very different perspectives.
Very different. I mean, and different sides on this whole issue, too. So what's the policy?
Yeah, so I mean, the gist of it is that phones are only going to be allowed in certain areas of the school. I'm pretty sure this is going to end up being the commons in the upper level of the hub, but that is subject to change. But that's like the idea, is that they're really only allowed in certain areas.
So they're going to be, we're still going to be able to have them, right?
Yeah.
They're not going to be like locked in Miss Aiken's office.
No, they won't collect them at the start of class or at the start of day or anything, but if you're seen with them out in a place you're not supposed to be, they can be taken.
And is it going to be like a strike system kind of, like where you get like, oh, put your phone away, and then when they ask you again, will they eventually take it, or?
I think the goal is very much to, you know, be kind of relaxed with the punishment. So I don't know if this is going to be like a strike system where you're getting noted down every time. But if you like repeatedly are breaking rules, then I mean, teachers are going to pick up on it. And I'm sure eventually you will get the appropriate punishment. But it's not like a specific thing you do when you get this punishment.
Okay. I've had a lot of kids talk to me about, what about lunch? Are they going to be allowed at lunch? Are phones going to be allowed at lunch? What's up with that?
Yeah, so currently it's looking like they are not going to be allowed. This is kind of interesting because it does make sense if you think about, like, their goal is, like, you know, the social aspect, and lunch is obviously a social time. But I think it's going to be very weird to enforce it, and I think it's a little unfair to teachers who are going to have to spend their time, you know, at when they want to be relaxing and eating instead of patrolling kids and taking their phones. I think that's kind of annoying. But, you know, it's going to be interesting to see how that plays out. Just because I know for a lot of people, I mean, like, watching YouTube while you eat, like, is, like, the common, like, it's unbearable to try and eat without watching anything. So it's going to be interesting to see how that affects the lunch.
Yeah, and what about earbuds, too? Are we going to be able to, like, wear our AirPods and stuff? Or, you know, what if, like, our phone's in our bag and then we have our AirPods? Like, how is that going
to
work?
I'm not sure. It's not super clear. I can talk more to Mr. Fullen about that, actually, because this is very relevant. But I'm assuming that they're going to be kind of relaxed with it. I mean, because theoretically, you could, like, connect your earbuds to your laptop or use an MP3 player. They're not, like, inherently tied to the phone. So I suppose as long as you're, like, using the controls, it should possibly be allowed. But that's not really – I can't say that for sure. So don't take my word for it.
All right. What about in the hallways? Are they going to be allowed in the hallways?
No. So since it's not only in certain rooms, even in the hallways, like between classes, you shouldn't have your phone out just at all. So that's kind of, I know, going to be interesting for some people. But it really, it seems weird. But when you really think about it, you're only going to be in the hallways for a few seconds. I know it's a habit of a lot of people, like check your email or whatever while you're walking, or check Instagram. But I don't know. It's only a few minutes, so I think that'll be not too significant of a difference either way, really.
All right. So are we going to get our phones taken away during study halls? Or are we going to take them away during freeze? How's that going
to
work?
Yeah. So if, once again, because it's only in certain areas. For study halls, you won't be able to have them. They won't get taken, but, you know, you're not supposed to have them out. And then if you have a free, if you go to those designated places, wherever they may be, then you can have your phone out then. So that's sort of a bit of a reward for those who reach high enough GPA to get honors and get into those free periods.
Yeah, and I think just we'll state it again, me and Josh conducted these interviews without, like, neutrally, I'd say. You know, we're not taking a side on either of these issues right now. We're just trying to give you the policy, what it's going to look like, and then let you guys decide. And I think that's why we kind of started this podcast, to bring information about PCD, different things unfolding in the community. And I think that's really big part of what we want to do. So I just wanted to say, and Josh and I will say, we're approachable. You can talk to us about maybe podcast ideas you're thinking about. But it's really important that we keep this going. And the best way to do that is just giving us more ideas. So thank you guys and girls for listening. And yeah, I think we'll catch you in the next one. So.
Yeah, thanks for listening, guys.